Today's chapel speaker is Dr. Terry Woodson. He currently serves as advisor to African-American students here at DTS. But in addition to these, he pastors the Bethel Bible Fellowship and serves as president of the Urban Evangelical Mission. Prior to his present ministries, Dr. Woodson served as a faculty member, then academic dean, and then chairman of the board at the College of Biblical Studies in Houston, Texas, the college with which we team our ministry down there for our extension site. And he served as pastor of the Friendship Community Bible Church in Houston for 15 years. He has a unique gift of both preaching and teaching God's word and practical application to everyday life. Every Friday at 1:30 p.m., his ministry is heard on KHCB 105.7 FM, entitled The Friday Bible Study. In addition, his heart of compassion is shown through the growing counseling ministry of his church. He's married to Harvitha, who goes by V, and they have four sons. Terry, it's great to have you as a part of our team. Would you join me in welcoming Dr. Terry Woodson?
Amen. How are we doing today?
All right.
Do I have any friends from the Department of Student Services here today supporting me? All right, all right, all right. Do I have any friends from the Black Student Fellowship supporting me today? All right. Do I have any friends here today who need chapel credit? Well, we're going to pray for you as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it's good to be in your house, Father. It's good to enjoy the rain. Remember the George family right now, Father. Remember the Park family as they're going through some difficult storms in their lives. Father, encourage us today here on campus. The semester is drawing to a close, Lord, and we need to be revitalized and encouraged. I thank you, Father, for your grace and your goodness. In Christ's name, amen. Whenever we're faced with death, and death is close to our door, someone you know passes, and it's even hard to even find the right word to describe it, passing on, death. But when it's a part of your life, like it has been a part of seminary life in the last couple days, it causes you to step back and to pause for a moment. And it causes you to basically just reevaluate your walk with God and where you're going and what's happening with you. It calls you to step back. Had a large funeral this week at the church, and a close friend of mine, and it caused me to step back for a moment and to look at myself and to ask those important questions about my readiness for death. And so I thought for a few moments, why don't we do that? Why don't we pause? And why don't we step back and look at yourself? An exciting passage that Paul is giving here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Running your race. And he tells us here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's giving us, giving young Timothy those last words before he is faced with execution. And as you know, those last words are usually your most important words. And he encourages young Timothy with ministry and endurance and faithfulness as he's preparing for his end. It says in verse 6, let's start at verse 5, "But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Paul was ready to go. He was prepared. It says in verse 6, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." I think of that departure of a ship being loose from its mooring, being ready to sail on. And Paul said, right now, in my present situation, I'm ready to go. If God called me home right now, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be loosed. I'm ready to leave this world, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. I'm ready to go if God calls me. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. I'm ready. My life is complete. I'm ready. And the first question I have for you today is, are you ready? Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're walking with the Lord, but has God finished using you? And probably the answer is no, not yet. There's still things for me to do. I'm looking forward to graduating at some point in time. I'm looking forward to God using me to touch the lives of individuals. I'm not ready yet. But Paul said, I'm ready. And if God calls you right now, whether you've completed all the assignments, we need to be in a state of readiness. But I like the next verse. I like verse 7. I like the athletic metaphors that Paul uses here. He says in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. When I think of a fighting match, I think of a person throwing some punches and a person being punched. And life is just that. You throw a few good ones, but you're going to get hit. And you're going to get hit hard. And Paul called it a good fight, a grand fight, a fight that God has ordained for his life. He didn't back down off the fight. It was a good fight, and he fought it with all he had. He fought the agnostics. He fought himself in the midst of his inner struggle with his sin. He fought with the churches, but he fought. Just like you and I are going through our own times of fighting, and it's a good fight. And one of the biggest fights that we have to fight is with ourselves and our own sinful nature. The temptation are out there. The possibilities of doing something that displeases God is there. And we fight and we struggle. And in the midst of the fight and struggle, we have to make a decision. Am I going to live my life in a way that honors and glorifies God? Paul said it was a good fight. Ministry is a fight. You're going to find that out. Ministry is a fight. It's a good fight, but it's a fight. And God gives you the strength to deal with people that are hard to deal with. Someone told me that if you can just get rid of all the people in the church, it'll be okay. You probably have to leave yourself. But people are hard to deal with. And they're the sheep that God has brought for us to nurture and to care and to love. And it's a fight. It's hard to be criticized. It's hard to be put down. It's hard to be talked about. But these are the folks that God will entrust to your care to shepherd. SF, I've been following some of the SF groups, and some of the SF leaders talk about how hard it is for this group to gel together and for this group to merge and for this group to become one. And it's true. And multiply that by a couple hundred folks, and you understand that it's a fight. But what's the adjective? It's a good fight. Amen? What else Paul says? Verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. Finished. Finish. Finished. Paul looked back on his life, and he had finished the race that God had called him to run. He's finished. The semester's winding down for you. A couple more weeks, and your finals. Probably right now you have some papers looking at you. Anyone have an exegetical paper? All right. You probably ready to quit, aren't you? I remember in my last semester at seminary, the spring break and the Christmas break, finished 7 semesters of seminary, Christmas break, I was writing my thesis. And I got tired and I got discouraged, I got depressed. And I told my wife, I'm finished. I'm going to quit. There was a conference in Washington, D.C. I wanted to go to. So I said, I'm going to stop. You know what she said to me? We have come too far. I said, we. I thought I was in this thing by myself. She said, no, we have come too far. And you're not going to quit. You're not going to throw in the towel. We're going to finish. I understand that. We're going to finish. And folks, you're going to finish. Finish. Don't quit. Don't take the shortcut. Don't take the easy path. Finish the course that God has called you to run. Finish. If you quit now, you may be establishing a pattern of quitting in the midst of hard times. So if you have a temptation within your soul today to cast it in, to pour in your chips, to throw in the towel, to call it quits, finish. Finish. You're supposed to say amen at that point.
Amen.
Finish. Amen. Paul says one more thing in verse 7. He's fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Some translate that as keeping the truths of one's spiritual life, of Scripture. Keeping the truths of being orthodox. He didn't veer with all the pressing religions coming in. He stayed on track. Then someone else translated this and looked at this in terms of being faithful to his call, of not veering to the left or to the right, but being faithful to his call, of not stepping out of bounds. When you run in track, you have lanes, and you have to stay in your lane. If you step outside of your lane, you're disqualified. I ran track when I was in high school, and they drafted me in college to run track. And I was a sprinter, the 100 and the 220. And there's nothing like running the 220. Any sprinters? There's nothing like it. Well, I'm praying for you, brother. But there's nothing like running the 220. The 220 on a curve. You know, you always want to get a position that's out front at the starting gate. No, you want to be behind so you can catch the guy in front of you at the start. And the goal is to catch the guy in front of you before you hit the curve. And then you lean into the curve. And at that point in time, the judges are watching you. They're watching your steps as you're leaning into that curve. Because there's a temptation to step out of bounds as you're leaning into the curve. If you step out of bounds, and when you finish the race, the judge is going to come out, and he's going to stand right in your lane, and he's going to say, you're disqualified. And there's nothing worse than the embarrassment of being disqualified. Turn things to another passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And this passage keeps me in line. I read this often. First Corinthians. Did I say Timothy? I said it right. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24. I love 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. I buffet my body. I love to say I buffet my body. I buffet my body and make it my slave. Lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. After you've preached to everyone, after you've done your exegesis and you've delivered a wonderful word, and folks pat you on the back and tell you what a great expositor you are, and thanks, Pastor. Thanks for that good word. To one day find out that you made a decision to step out of bounds, and now you're disqualified. The pain, the embarrassment. It's a hard place to be. To lose what you prepared for so many years. To lose it all. Paul said, I have been faithful. As I look back over my life, I have chosen to run within the bounds. Now think of Samson, a Nazirite, how he was not faithful with the vows that he took or the vows that were given to him. He was not faithful with those vows. And each one of those vows, not to eat grapes, not to touch the dead, I mean, he was just loose with those vows. And you see at the end of his life a broken man who was disqualified many, many times. But there was the grace of God in his life. And his hair started to grow back. Praise God for his grace. We need his grace. Because God is good. God is good. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. One more thing Paul tells us. The future. He says, now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The crown of righteousness. After those runners ran their races, they received the crown. That laurel wreath was placed upon their heads. The seat of judgment, the bema seat, as it was called there, they were rewarded for the race. Paul said at the end of his life, he is looking forward to coming before the face of the Master and having the Master reward him for his life of service. Well done. Well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but that's what I want Jesus to say about Woodson. Well done. You ran hard. You didn't come in first. You didn't come in second. I didn't require that of you. I required that you finished, and you finished well. You were faithful in the task. You made choices not to step out of bounds. You're faithful. Well done, Woodson. Well done. Come on, son. Rest. Brother George is resting. The friend I laid to rest this week, he's resting. And one day I'm going to have that privilege as well, is to be able to rest with my Master. And I want him to say to me, well done. Let's pray, folks. Father, I'm grateful, Lord, for your love. I'm grateful that you're a God who cares about me as an individual. I'm grateful that you have some guidelines for us on how we should live and run our lives. Father, may we be the men and women you've called us to be, who are living our lives in such a way that brings you all the honor and glory that you deserve. And Father, at the end, standing before you at that bema seat judgment, we want to hear those words, well done, well done, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We love you, Lord, in Christ's name, amen.